Good morning, church. I want to thank and praise God that God is marvelous and wonderful, and He gave us an opportunity to come and be in Singapore. I never thought that we are going to be, our situation is going to be like that, just strictly in-house, like grounded. But there is a reason, because God says, this is a time for you to rest. Just shut up. Don't talk. But we thank God for that. In it, we know we gain strength from the Lord for the next chapter, the next leg of our journey. But I want to tell you something that how I felt at the camp. When my husband was very ill. I mean, not very ill, but he was ill. But every one of you came in to chip in, to find out. I thank God for the brother at the customs helping out to fill out the form. You know, all going through JB is a crazy thing. But he came just in time to help us. And we thank God for that. And also we thank God, I forgot to bring a thermometer. And God provided a thermometer with a sister here. Came, says, I'm going to give it to you. Go have it, you know. So every little bit, everyone coming and just asking, how are you feeling, Pastor? How are you feeling? It's just a very warm sensation that we have, a very warm feeling that there is a church that is so compassionate, so loving, and caring. And I think the theme at the conference, also Dr. Tony Lim was saying, this is what it is, caring, personal and corporately, together in such a way that we can be transformed into the spirit of what God wants us to be. It's so true, and I really enjoyed it. But thank you so much for believing in us, trusting in us, and continually supporting us in the work of the Lord in India. It has been a challenge, but let me tell you, I never knew missionary journey was as tough as I'm going through now. But God's grace, God's mercy is upon us. And we thank you so much all the time praying for my husband. It is the grace of God. As Brother Manson was saying, Jehovah Rapha, He will do it again and again and again and again for all of us because He loves us. And we really care for us. So we thank you so much, Pastor Barnett, Sister Sally, and the church, the leadership, Sister Renee. We thank you so much. Always keeping in touch, WhatsApp. We thank you. Thank you for praying for us. And we will continue to pray for the church and for each individual. And I'm seeing all those that they were little crawling in stroller. And all they are grown up, beautiful, wonderful young men and women. And what a glory to God. And we thank you. This is a church that builds for a purpose and for His glory and all our benefits. We thank you so much and God bless you. Pray for us. Amen.
This morning we are so glad Dr. Josh Kuti will be with us. Sister Kamala, you like to stand first? We want to give you a warm welcome. So glad that this year, you know, each time is around this month that they are over here because they go over to India for the graduation. But then this time they took on extra responsibilities, a lot more preaching. And last year, as Sister Kamal shared at the camp, I told them, if you could come and spare those 4 days with us, come and just enjoy the camp. No preaching engagements, don't worry. No assessment for you. But they were not well, especially Pastor Josh. But we thank God they have a good time and they'll be leaving tomorrow evening. But it was a wonderful time of fellowship with many of us. This morning you came in, you are handed out the notes for his message today and also a little booklet, yeah, on the Great Commission. But Pastor Josh, Sister Kamala has been a real blessing to all of us and to my family, really. More than 30 years we've known each other. And you know, he's always one who speaks with such conviction, fervor and sincerity of hearts. I'll not speak anymore. Let's just put our hands together again and welcome Dr. Josh to preach. And just to Have you understanding? It'll be easier for him if he could just sit down and preach, and then, you know, you have the notes, you have the outline to follow. You're able to step up. Okay, yeah. You got your own mic?
Good morning, brothers and sisters. The house of prayer is very dear to our hearts. We thank you so much for having us and giving us so much love and tender, loving care for us. You are one of our mission supporters of the Bible College in India. God has been faithful for the past 24 years. This is the 25th year of our Bible College. Scores of young people are trained and have gone to do God's work in various parts of India, mostly in the northeastern part of the Himalayas. We never knew that we will have such a far-reaching impact upon the work of the Lord. For the past month and a half, we were in India. Domestically, we were flying to north, and we traveled by train and recruiting, selecting students for our June enrollment. That's the beginning of this month. And we are so blessed to have these young people coming from all the way from Meghalaya, Arunachal, West Bengal, Assam, Orissa, and various parts of India. We overworked with our mission trip to India for a month and a half. I never been in an Indian train in all my life. But this time we had to travel whole night by train, and it reminded me of my Logos years. You know, when you are on the ship, you move like this all the time. And that's what the train journey was, and we exerted a little bit, and it took a toll on us, but thank God for the needed rest God has given to us in Singapore. And thank you, Pastor, for your invitation. One thing I noticed, that under the leadership of our church here, God is raising up young Timothys, both brothers and sisters, are being mentored and discipled, and it is so exciting to see them taking leadership, whether it's in the song worship, whether it's in the musical, whether it's in the prayers. And I saw your leadership during the camp, various teams taking those challenges to step up for the work of the Lord. It is my prayer that as we pass on the baton to the next generation of torchbearers, that you will be true and faithful in the safeguarding of the truth of the Word of God, and also you will be willing to suffer as a soldier for the Lord's work, enduring afflictions and sufferings and challenges that may come your way. You will take it joyfully and bravely. And also it's my prayer that you will continue in the truth, in the gospel, in the work of the Lord, steadfastly, steadiness in the storms of life. And finally, it is my prayer that you will preach the word. It is God's word, is self-attested, anointed. And if we preach God's word, God will do the work for itself. You don't need any monkey tricks. You don't need any money tricks. You don't need any gimmickeries or pressure technology techniques or pop psychology in our pulpit. And you have been so blessed to have a Bible-taught congregation with expository preaching as your ground, as your foundation here under the leadership of Pastor Reverend Barnett and Sister Sally. God bless you. I have many things I wanted to share. As you know, I get very excited and get so intensified in my preaching, and I have been having a little bad cough for almost 2 weeks now, and I'm afraid that it will flare up again while preaching. So I just want to kind of go on a low tone today by the grace of God. One of the things that is so passionate in my life is on mission. I don't have the liberty to speak on that subject today. But I believe one of the greatest needs of the hour in our churches all across the continents is a revival in mission, missiology. We have a lot of theology, but separated from missiology, Bible is a mission book from Genesis to Revelation. And we need to read the Bible with a mission-focused perspective. It is the ruin of man and the remedy of God is the entire message of the Bible in a nutshell. God's redeeming love for all mankind, salvation through Jesus Christ. But churches have lost the passion for mission. And this church, you are a very good example of mission. And you have focused on cross-cultural mission. In fact, for the past 24 years, you have been supporting Hope for Asia Bible College and Seminary. Someday, God willing, I will come and preach on that theme, which is so passionate in my heart through and through for the past 55 years. In fact, during my maladies of cancer, I have had such a passion to complete a book as a textbook for the Bible College, The Theology of Mission in the New Testament. And that has been my burden, which has been completed. And our elder Neo Bunsing has given a beautiful foreword for this. And also, I have written The Great Commission. Is an unfinished commission. Imagine half of the world, nearly 4 billion people, are still unreached with the gospel. Holy Ghost was given to us on the day of Pentecost so that we will be a witness, endued, empowered with the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness in Jerusalem, that is the same culture, Judea, same culture but close proximity, Samaria, that is cross-cultural, different from Judea and Samaria, Judea and Jerusalem, and then to the uttermost part of the earth, that's global. And we need that passion to reach this generation for Jesus. And I'm afraid if I continue like this, I may not be preaching what I intend to preach this morning. So let me turn to my text. It is Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. You have that in your note. That text is written for you. I shall read it. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. I would like to talk to you today very shortly a topic entitled From Adversity to Prosperity Without Losing Your Integrity. Let me repeat. From adversity to prosperity without losing your integrity. This is the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. There are many towering personalities and figures in the Bible, in the Old Testament in particular. But I believe, doing some reading and researching of the life of Joseph, he towers above all figures. Of course, Jesus is a supreme, the summum bonum, the greatest. But there are a lot of things that we can learn from the life of Joseph. Maybe his lapse, if there's any, it should be for our perpetual warning and for his accomplishment and his godly character. It should be for our perpetual inspiration for our lives. Life of Joseph. From adversity to advancement. Without losing his moral and spiritual integrity. Let me talk to you a little bit of his resume. Who he was. He was the prime minister of Egypt. He was the number two man of King Pharaoh. He was the chief, national chief of police. He was the defense minister of the military. He was supervising all the trade and commerce and all the granaries in Egypt. He was the chief justice of the Supreme Court in Egypt. He was in charge of the Pharaoh's palace in Egypt. These are just a few Also, he was the Minister of Foreign Affairs, inviting dignitaries from other parts of the world to Egypt. Not only that, on top of these high-profile credentials, Pharaoh gave him the chariot, second to his chariot, and he gave a signet ring of Pharaoh's signet ring to Joseph. It was a symbol of authority. He had the equal authority to approve or disapprove with that signet ring pressed into the letters, into the papers. And Pharaoh gave him a chain, golden chain around his neck, which was a symbol of royalty. And also he clothed him with fine linen, fine vesture. It was a mantle of elevation. You may think it all happened to him suddenly. It did not. He had to go through agony, affliction, and adversities. Let me talk to you a little bit of his ancestry. In our modern vernacular, in our modern culture, we may call that he comes from a dysfunctional family. He had 8 stepbrothers with him and Benjamin. And then Jacob had 2 concubines, and he had 2 sons each of each of these 2 concubines. It was a dysfunctional family that he grew up, Joseph. It was very chaotic, bickering, tearing each other. And on top of it, Jacob loved Joseph as so beloved of him, because he was born of Rachel, the lover of his soul. So he loved Joseph so much in that favoritism played a big part in the family household. And he made him a coat of many colors. And Joseph had a dream that these brothers, stepbrothers, are bowing to him and worshiping him sometime. And all these created a mangled, fragmented, fractured family upbringing. You can imagine what goes on among these 12 sons and 1 daughter born of Jacob. It was a chaotic condition, a turmoil, a house divided. It could never stand under those circumstances. One day the father sent him to go and feed the brothers, stepbrothers, grazing the flock. And as he was traveling at a distance, the brothers saw him coming with food for them. They conspired against him. They wanted to kill him. One of them said, "Please don't kill him. Let us dump him into the pit." And that's what they did to him. They dumped him into the pit. And finally, they sold him as a slave to the Ishmaelite merchants, the Midianites, coming by that way. You can imagine him shackled, going with the Ishmaelites, going into the slave market to be sold. And it is there Potiphar, one of the guard, in charge of the guard of the palace, bought him brought him to his home and made him a servant there. And he was faithful, executing all his responsibilities. Then comes the seduction of Potiphar's wife, making advances towards him, to seduce him, to lie down with him, with her. He refused to do that. And she falsely accused him of him making advances towards her. And you could imagine the anger of Potiphar, the husband. I'm sure he was punished severely, brutally, beaten him and put him in jail. Almost 2 years in jail. Some scholars think he was in jail for almost 13 years. You could imagine him sitting there falsely accused. And not knowing what can happen. Let me inject something here before I go any further. So many families are suffering because of favoritism in the house. You love one son or daughter more than the others. And children can feel that. That favoritism playing out. And some of the houses are fragmented, bickering each other, tearing each other. And I pray that God will mend, heal our fragmented families. And we will make every effort to love each and everyone equally, without partiality and favoritism. And let me move on. It was so cruel. There is no justification on this planet Earth of what his stepbrothers have done to him. There is no ground to justify Potiphar's wife's accusation of him, that he was trying to make advances towards her. But here comes the emerging truth. Here comes an important point. If it wasn't that situation by his brother, seemingly wicked, seemingly brutal, unloving, if it wasn't that, he will never be in Egypt welcoming his brothers in the time of famine to feast them, to feed them, and to bring them and give them a place, the most fertile place called Goshen in Egypt, to live there and to become a mighty nation. We do not understand the sovereignty of God and the mystery of God. Sometimes we go through maladies and tragedies and cruel afflictions and hostilities and resentments of people. We wonder why this is happening to you and me. We say, why? Why me? Why me? Why am I accused of? Why am I blamed for this? But somehow, Joseph grasped an emerging truth out of this. And that's what we just read. Brothers, you meant evil against me, but God turned it for good. God turned it around to make me a blessing for you to survive as a nation. If it was in Potiphar's wife's accusation, he would have never been in jail where he found the butler and the baker who informed Pharaoh that this man has supernatural insight. He can interpret dreams correctly, which he did. And that made him the prime minister of Egypt, from pit to prison to palace, from rags to riches to royalty. Let me tell you, your transformation can come suddenly if you are true and faithful to God. It can come overnight. You may be locked in, shut up, confined in your own world. You are not allowing anyone to enter into your world or turmoil and tragedies. And you are bearing those pain and grief within you, carrying that heavy load. But I can tell you, you can go to bed with rags. You can get up in the morning standing before Pharaoh, dignified, honored, elevated. Our God is the God of exaltation. He makes us barren women as the joyful mother of children. He can raise us up from obscurity and insignificance. From the dunghill, he can make you to stand before kings, influential leaders in the work of the Lord, far beyond our human comprehension. I was a little boy in India at the age of 14. God called me into the ministry. It is a journey that I traveled. It's so marvelous, so beautiful, so wonderful for the past 55 plus years. The people that I met, the relationship that I have established, and the lives that I have impacted, it is far beyond anything I can imagine. It is truly a marvel, the grace of God. Our Bible story is the story of redemption, redemptive grace. He can take you mangled, fragmented, fractured, shattered dreams, broken lives. Yes, these frail vessels of clay can be cracked and broken, but God can make it all over again by His grace. It's amazing God has given me another chance to live. I never thought I will live again. I wrote my eulogy and gave it to my wife at the hospital. But God said, not yet. You have a little bit more work to do. And it is the grace that He has given to go through some of these challenging situations. That's what amazes me more than my own sickness, the cancer. God is here to bestow His grace upon you. He can turn your night into day, your stumbling block into stepping stone, your adversities into advancement. Your adversities are the pathway to breakthroughs and to glorification. Yes, We thank God for the many challenges and turmoils and afflictions and sufferings. We also thank God for the breakthroughs in answer to prayers. And that's what happened to him. And you could imagine when the brothers came to see him, he could have said, "This is my chance. This is my chance to retaliate." No. He was a man with such an alacrity, meaning willingness to forgive, readiness to accept, pleasant, amicable. He welcomed them. He cried with them. He hugged them. He dined with them. And the Bible says the whole palace could hear their cry or their reunion. He had two children born, Manasseh and Ephraim. Both have beautiful meanings to their names. In all this, you don't see any bitterness, embitterment of any kind in the life of Joseph. He said, "God has given me these children to forget what happened to my father's house, to forget the land of my affliction. God has been good to me. Yes, you meant evil, but God turned it for good. Something good is going to come out of some bad situation in your life. There may be no justification to what others have done to you. But I can tell you, our God is the God who can turn bad, real bad situations and turn it around for his glory and for his praise and for our good." It is a mystery how God's plan and purpose leap forward into his ultimate design, ultimate end, through the wickedness and the treachery of our circumstances and the evilness that surrounds us. God cares for you and me. He loves us so much. He is here to transform our situation. He is here to mend our broken heart, heartedness. He is here to heal our grief and pain. After all, these brothers came and bowed before him anyway. They couldn't even get up on their feet. They were still bowing and honoring and respecting him when they came to Egypt. God preserved his people. God paved the way, prepared the way way ahead of time. And the Lord knew there will be a famine in the land and God's people to be protected and preserved and to be taken care of. Here he is, through the pit, through the prison, into the palace, welcoming 75 of them came as a family to Goshen. And God had uncommon favor with Pharaoh for the people of Israel and gave them the most fertile place to live, well fed, protected and preserved, became a nation. It is the marvelous redeeming grace. I am always amazed of how God turns situations around for our good and for his glory. May your adversities lead you to advancement. But in all these contexts, without slightest reservation, without slightest reservation, he refused to compromise with Potiphar's wife. He was God-centered man. He said, nobody is watching me, correct, but there's one who is up there watching me. How can I do this wicked thing? How can I do this wicked sin? How can I transgress against my God? He fled from her. His beauty, his fame, his fortune, his mantle of elevation and exaltation did not inflate his ego at all. That's a temptation for many in ministry. When they have a few degrees, they get so puffed up, inflated with their ego, and their head is swollen like a balloon, and they can hardly get through the door because they are so much with pageantry, so much with their self-aggrandizement and their fashion shows, showing their eloquence and their dictions, their oratory and their capabilities, with a heart that is so small, shrinking, callous, hard, cold. May the Lord give us tenderness and tears. May the Lord give us compassion. No retaliation, no revenge, because he knew it is the ultimate hand of God, sovereignly handpicked to him to be a blessing to his people and to the nations. What a marvelous example we have here. It is my prayer that we may have Christ-like character and conduct, godly character, uncompromising. There may be temptations in our workplace, in our private life, to compromise, to go this way or that way. We get wobbly, we stagger, indecisive, uncertain which way to go. I pray that this life of Joseph will be an example to us. He never compromised his moral fortitude. His moral fiber was there, even in the darkest night of his life. May God bless us with this word. And thank you, Pastor Sister Sally. Thank you, Pastor Barnett, and the leadership for standing with us. And it is marvelous, the grace of God preserving us. May the blessing of the Lord be upon you. Father, I pray. I thank you for sustaining me these few moments to share what is upon my heart without flaring up that coughing that has been going on night and day. Thank you for the example. Yes, you are the God who will make the way from adversities, from setbacks. Thank you for making us to leap forward in your plan and purpose to bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. what others and what even the enemy may mean for evil, God can always mean it for good. Amen. We've always heard from Pastor Josh, and each time